The views and opinions expressed by guests on the TWBC podcast are solely those of the guest and do not necessarily reflect the views of nor constitute an endorsement by the host, TWBC, or the advertisers.
National championships, confederation championships, world championships, major professional events. For over three decades, he has been there for many of the sport's greatest moments. And now he brings you even closer to the movers and shakers in the world of high echelon tournament water skiing. From the founder and creator of the Water Ski Broadcasting Company comes the TWBC Podcast. And now here's your host, Tony Lightfoot.
All right, greetings one and all to every single one of you out there. This is Tony Lightfoot, and this is the TWBC Podcast, coming to you from Hilltop Lake over in Arlington, just outside the state of Washington. I have a special guest here, repping for Syndicate at the Syndicate Pro-Am tournament at Hilltop. It is none other than Will Asher. How are you doing today, sir?
Good, Tony. Thanks for having me this morning.
All right, so the Syndicate brand, you've been on since it really formed, really as an offshoot to HO in the early part of the 2000s. I mean, put that in perspective.
Yeah, it's been a really fun ride so far. I've been fortunate to be with the same company for quite a few years now, and I get to see, you know, it develop into things that have been really exciting. Not just at, you know, the high end Syndicate level, but then also the grassroots level. Trying to grow the sport from the bottom and increase the top, which is pretty unique in our industry.
Excellent. So you base yourself out in Central Florida. You've been known to go on out to Jack's and train with JT and a whole bunch of others on Team Syndicate. And then you come up from those relatively warm climbs to something like this, where the temperature drops significantly. I mean, how much of an adjustment is that to make, considering where you originally plowed your trade?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard when you come from Florida and the water's literally 100 degrees, and then you come here and the water's, I mean, it's actually pretty reasonable here. It's maybe in the mid-70s, 80 degrees. So it's more of a sensation feel difference. I think even the feeling of the wind on your body when it's 65 versus 100 is, you know, it's all a factor. You're using all your senses all the time, whether you know it or not. So it's just those things, you know, get to come here, have a couple little practice sets, just get used to those feelings and then readjust the senses from there.
And I mean, a lot of people have identified your technique and your particular style of skiing as one of the ones that they'd want to emulate. I mean, I've known you for quite a while. I mean, this goes back into the late 80s. Well, maybe not so much late 80s, but early 90s, you know, late 90s, that type of deal, where you were skiing more in overall, that type of deal, and skiing out of Hazelwood, let's just be honest, your involvement in tournament water skiing was more fun based than anything else. I mean you're in the stage of the career now where it is kind of, you know, serious, you know, where things are taken quite deliberately. But give us a sense of how you evolved from what you were as a skier in the 90s to where you are now.
Yeah, I think the hard part of trying to be good at something is that sometimes it drains the fun out of it. So it becomes a job, it becomes serious, it becomes, you know, you got to do A, B, and C to get the result. As a kid, you're just out there having fun. And that's, you know, normally when you make the biggest progress is when you're out there having fun. So, you know, I'd say probably 5-6 years ago, it was a pretty dark time. It was pretty stressful. It wasn't going very well. I'd always call it the win-lose roller coaster. So everything revolved around what happened on Sunday. And if it didn't go well, I'd be on the downslope. If it went well, I'd be on the upslope. But, I mean, it became pretty evident. You know, my wife helped me with that, Nicole. She's like, you know, when you ski great, it's fine. You know, you're good. But then if it doesn't go your way, you can, you know, life's not easy for you. So I'd say over the last several years, I've kind of taken myself off the win-lose roller coaster. What happens on the weekend is a result of, and I really enjoy the process. And in enjoying the process, it kind of takes me back to when I was a kid, and I didn't give a crap what happened on the weekend. You know, mm-hmm. It's just you train hard, you do your stuff, you have fun, you ski with good people, you surround yourself with good people, you know, family life, relationships with friends, all that stuff, then the skiing's going to be there. So for now, where I'm at, it's the weekend has been more consistent because my training and life has been more fun.
Good, good. Now, going along the same lines. I mean, you've had tournament victories in a number of different venues and different countries, that kind of thing. I mean, it's basically hard to think back at a tournament that you haven't really won during the course of your career. I mean, we're talking like Moomba Masters and other events that are held on a regular basis, the Masters over in Callaway Gardens and that type of deal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you said that you were in a pretty dark place a few years ago in regards to your skiing. So, would you agree it's not so much about how you train yourself technically anymore, but it's just basically getting more out of the event from a psychology perspective, how you feel more than...
Yeah. So, I mean, I checked my whole list. Like, I achieved everything I wanted to achieve. And then at a certain point, you know, you just keep doing it, you keep doing it. It's like, what do you want from me? How much do you want? You know, how many times do I have to win this to make me happy? And it's like, you'd win it, and it's like, yeah, you're happy for like an hour. You know, you'd have a beer, celebrate, high five. And then after that, it's like, it's very empty. You know, it's a great achievement. It's great fun. It's a way of celebrating the work you put in. But then at the end of the day, it feels pretty empty. So for me, it's like, I need something that's last longer. So my day to day in the process, day in, day out, is way more enjoyable than having to rely on a good result on the weekend for me to potentially be happy.
Mm.
So it just, yeah, like you say, it's a much healthier place. I see it with a lot of other people. I know, listen to some podcasts with some of the top athletes, like Johnny Wilkinson from English Rugby.
Yeah, I know Johnny.
He did a really good podcast with, is an English group of guys that do a podcast, like performance podcast or something. He was talking about the same stuff. So he, you know, he was depressed. He, you know, went through a dark time, and, you know, he's one of the most winningest rugby players of all time.
But yeah, he captained England to the World Cup.
Yeah, he's a legend, right? But then at the end of the day, no one knows, but he has these, you know, he's not happy inside. Because at a certain point, the idea of doing it when I was a kid was awesome, and it was there, and I did it. But then once you've done it once or twice or three times or four times or five times, it's like different, you know? Like you're almost progressed out of that being exciting because it's not new, it's not fresh. And I don't want to sit here and sound unappreciative or like try and say other people that are skiing that's not a really great thing or a thing to strive for, but it's personally, it wasn't healthy to then always chase that, right? So it's just about, you know, stuff's happened in the sport, and then it's like, I want to have a happy life.
Yeah.
So for me, that wasn't a happy way of going about life.
You know, I mean, that kind of smacks to me, being that you were skiing and competing to achieve things, to meet the expectations of other people, what they had for you, rather than trying to gleam enjoyment out of this experience purely for yourself. Well, and that's where the kind of the selfishness comes into play a little bit in most people's eyes, I would feel.
Maybe, but then... I've never had anyone. My parents have always been great. My family, my wife, you know, everyone have never put that pressure on me. Like, you've got to win. It's always been from me putting the pressure on myself. Like, I had that expectation of myself of going out there on the weekend. You got to win. You got to do this, and then you'll be happy and life will be good. But it's not a great place to be. It's not that much fun. But then now, on a day to day, I'm a much happier guy, and I really have fallen back in love with the sport because I've found other measures of performance besides if I can stand on top of the podium, which if you look at, you know, some of the greats, you got Chris Lapointe, he's out here this weekend. He loves it as much as he did 50 years ago,
mm-hmm.
you know, when he got his world title or world record when he was 13 years old, and he's still out there doing it and loving it arguably more than anybody else doing it. So that's kind of the examples I tried to look at, and you know, Nicole, she always pushed me. It's like, you got to do other things besides skiing because maybe it won't always be there. So I'm always consider myself the jack of all trades, master of one. So I want to be good at like a ton of things.
Yeah.
And then sure, I'm, you know, mastering water skiing is one of my things, but I want to, how good can I be at 20 other things? So then on any given day, if I want to go out and bike 100 miles with my buddies, or if I want to go snow skiing with somebody and, you know, just kind of climb up somewhere and go off this random slope that's over there, you know, I want to be able to do all that stuff. You know, that sounds more whole of a life than, whereas in the past it'd be like, no, I can't do that stuff because maybe on Sunday I won't get the win.
Sounds like to a lot of people, they're probably listening to this and like thinking, okay, this is very, very akin to like a work-life balance that a lot of people are trying to strive. Mm. And you've mentioned Nicole a couple of times in the midst of this deal. I mean, obviously she's been vitally important for you to strive between what you do on the water and what pleasure you take away from that and apply that to whatever else that you want to achieve out of life.
Yeah. I was just stuck in my own head, and she'd laugh about it because I would never want to do something new. But she's like, you're going to really enjoy it. Just try it. Just do it. Just try it. Whether it's kiteboarding or, I don't know, you name the list, CrossFit, or, you know, a lot of the stuff that I have ended up doing and really enjoying because she kind of did it first, and then she kind of pulled me, you know, dragged me away to do it as well. So she's always had a great balance, and she was always happier with it. So, you know, kind of find these examples in your life that are doing it differently.
You know, as you were answering that question, that kind of brought me back a little bit to an athlete that I'm sure that you know of, Tom Daley.
The diver
who's found a little bit of a diversion by actually taking
knitting
up. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. And he's in his own world, right? Like he's like, I don't really care what anyone thinks. This makes me happy. And I mean, could you imagine being at the Olympics with the whole country watching you? Like, I feel fortunate that you could say I'm like a celebrity in my own little mind. And it's a very small bubble, and I'm so thankful for that. I couldn't imagine leaving here and not able to go to Starbucks or, you know, anywhere to get some food without a million people coming up to you. That would be a horrible existence. So for him, I imagine, you know, he's pretty famous. He's in a pretty small sport, but he's kind of become some sort of a symbol. You know, he took a lot of press a few years ago, and he's a pretty well-known guy, isn't he?
Yeah, indeed, yeah.
So he needs some distractions.
Yeah, I mean, at least he's pretty well known from where we come from, which is Great Britain, yep. and Great Britain did pretty well at the Olympics, you know, and I'm sure all of them now have risen to some level of fame or superstardom, you know.
Certainly.
So, for all the fame that you've created for yourself within water sports, within tournament water skiing, you know. I mean, you've probably already answered this question to a certain extent, but do you kind of wish that it received more exposure or anything like that, or are you kind of glad that its exposure is creeping up a little bit, but not by a huge amount?
That'd be a double-edged sword, wouldn't it? I wish it had way more exposure. I really do, because the sport deserves it. It's a really great sport. You know, it's really fun to do. People get a lot of enjoyment out. It's healthy. You know, we're outside. I think we're very fortunate to be able to do the sport that we do. And it's a shame that, you know, millions of other people don't get to experience that. And that, you know, it's some of the limitations in our sport and the reason it can't grow. You know, there's many factors, cost of entry, all those kind of things. But it would be nice if there were millions of other people doing it. The face of the sport would be a lot different. But, you know, that's part of what makes this sport cool, too, is that we're all very accessible. We hang out here, we hang out with everybody, and,
oh, yeah,
you know, people kind of get that access. Whereas if it was bigger, you'd lose that.
Now, in this season, probably opposed to a lot of other seasons that have gone by, there are a lot more tournaments now. I mean, there's this tournament that has existed for a while. There's the California Pro-Am that's coming up, the Malibu Open, the Mastercraft Pro. There's a whole bunch. The World Championships are coming up. you know, there are opportunities now to show off your skills and to compete against the world best now than there ever have been in the past, you know. But do you think that there's that much more room to grow for the sport in growing more events, bigger events type deal than what we're seeing right now, even growing since last season?
It's hard because you obviously you want to grow the sport, but then sometimes I don't think you want to dilute the sport. I think there's something to be said about having really focused, good events. I don't know the answer to that really. I think it's great that we have more events. It's more opportunity for people. Sometimes it feels a bit diluted, like there are a lot of events all the time. And I'd say the stuff that's happened now with the water ski, you know.
Pro Tour,
it's getting a bit more central. Everyone's kind of getting under the same umbrella, and that's going to be huge. You know, if you can, you know, you got to kind of look 5-10 years down the line, and that's going to be the kind of thing that's going to grow it. You know, we've got to create that package and give people a reason to follow us, really.
All right, then. So I've got a couple more questions to you, and first of which, World Championships coming up. Obviously, the echelon of all tournaments coming up every couple of years. You know, I mean, JT and their family are doing a fantastic job getting that event up and running, obviously, so a big shout out to them.
Yeah.
But it's been a few years now since you last won your world title. Does that kind of grate on you a little bit? I mean even going back to some of the earlier answers that you gave, so much as what people are expecting you to do at being the slalom skier at your level, and they're like, look at your record and like say, last time he's won the world title was like 2009.
Honestly, I don't care about those people. If that's what they got to say, I really do not care what they think, because they have no idea. It's kind of like I said earlier in the conversation, I've won it twice. That's cool. You know, there's lots of people that haven't won it once. Sure, would it be really cool if I got three? It'd be cool. Yeah, it'd be great. It'd be a lot of fun. I'd enjoy it. I get to put three medals on the wall instead of two. But at the end of the day, is it going to make me more happy in 5 years? Probably not. So it kind of ends. I kind of go back to that first question. Yeah, it gives me something to focus on. It gives me a reason to I don't know. It gives me a reason to stick to a particular ski or make a decision, because if I don't have the reasons to make a decision, I really love testing. I love trying new skis. I love trying new theories. I love trying new techniques, whatever it might be. And if I don't have those things to aim for somewhere down the line, I'll just go down the rabbit hole and I'll just keep learning for the rest of my life and I'll be super happy.
Mm-hmm.
So really all they do, you know, the Worlds or these tournaments this weekend, it makes me make a decision, makes me pull the trigger, but as far as I'm more committed to happiness and having a whole life than, you know, worrying about a third world title.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, that does make a lot of sense, you know. A lot has been made about the rivalry between you and Freddie Winter over the last few years.
Who,
you know?
Who makes that rivalry?
I mean the fact that...
Who are the people? Who's the names?
I won't say specific names, but I mean
so I'm just saying it's not me. It must be somebody. So
yeah.
Who is it?
Maybe other people. You know that are making a big fuss of the fact that you're British, he's British. There's kind of like a John McEnroe and the Jimmy Connors type rivalry, both from the same nation. Who's going to come out on top? You know.
How's that more healthy for anybody in the world if we have a rivalry?
You're onto something there.
There is no rivalry that's unhealthy between Freddie and I would say, unless people are trying to stir the pot, and I find that very aggravating.
Okay.
Yeah, big time. Because I'm not in it to have a rivalry with Freddie. I love watching Freddie ski. I love watching everybody ski. For me, it's a lot of fun. I love watching the unique styles. I love watching how I get to learn. I feel fortunate because I get to learn from them every weekend. You know, I get to see them ski, and that's the reason I'm doing it. It's like, okay, well, he's got a very unique style. It's like, wow, I wonder if I can implement some of that into mine, and that might make my process a bit more enjoyable because it's all process based.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's what I say to that. There's no rivalry as far as I'm concerned. So if there is, then someone's trying to manufacture it, and I'd say that's very unhealthy.
Okay, all right then. You're looking at me for some reason. I don't know.
You just said it might be you.
It might be. It might be. You know, but it's a whole part of sports broadcasting, I guess. And I
could imagine if we were a bigger sport and we were going onto news media and we were making millions of dollars, it might be a nice storyline, and we were both in on it, and you know, like WWE. But I don't think with WWE, I think it'd be a lot better if we're all just kind of getting along.
Excellent. Now, I spoken earlier with Robert Hazelwood, and he attributes a lot of his success within slalom skiing to the guidance that you've given him. How do you feel about that?
I paved the way for him. I trained all his drivers, coached all the family. I think it's great. Yeah, I think it's really great. Because, I mean, before me, our family, you know, is very much a jumping family. We had Mike and Tim and my brother, and even myself, I wanted to jump, and then slalom just kind of became my thing.
Yeah, I remember seeing pictures of you jumping with the Union Jack crash helmet.
Yeah, the Union Jack jumpsuit. Oh, coming in hot. Oh, that was close. But then, you know, slalom just kept progressing, and I enjoyed it. And I think for me, it was my way of having my own thing in the site, because no one else was really, you know, it could be my thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say most of my childhood was kind of like trying to make the site a better slalom site, because you know, the ramp was always perfect, the boats were always strong. And then now it's like a beautiful place to slalom. And yeah, I, you know, Rob said it, I was a bit of a positive influence on him growing up. I'd say that's great, that's amazing. I'm very happy for that.
All right then. So before we leave, and before you give your acknowledgements and thanks to a whole bunch of people, which I'm sure is going to be a pretty sizable list, I would imagine. Maybe not, but we did mention Nicole. Now I remember at the beginning of the season at Swiss, almost as soon as that event stopped, you and Nicole had to get on a long road trip to Chicago. Wasn't
Lake 38.
Not Swiss, but Lake 38. Yeah. Okay, so what was the reasoning behind that? I think as medical school.
Yeah, she's in Chicago now. She started her surgery residency, so she got a placement there in Chicago, which is, I mean, you see Chicago on the news every weekend, so you can mm-hmm. imagine what she's dealing with on a day to day in surgery. as far as the program she's in and education, it's amazing the exposure she gets. It's very sad because mm-hmm. you know, because she sees that every day. All the stuff that's on the news, she sees every day. You know, lots of really, really scary things. But she's in her element and she's thriving, which is amazing. Very proud of her.
Yeah, that's a very stark perspective to have. I mean, with what you do every day, with what you do with training. You know, I mean, pales into its significance to what she has to deal with.
The pressure she has to do on a daily basis, and her, you know, she. She grew up in sports too, barefoot, and she's always been a little bit of an adrenaline junkie. So for her to be in that environment where the energy is super high and there's a lot on the line, she thrives in that, which is very special. It's very cool. It's very, very cool to see.
All right, then. So, all right, then. We'll round off the podcast around about here, but do you have any parting words?
Yeah, I'd like to say thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And I'm just happy to be up here in the Northwest. I love it here in Hilltop. Thank you, Gordon, hey Joe, for putting this on. I think we're gonna have a great weekend.
Excellent stuff. Well, that was Real Washer. My name is Tony Lyford. This is the TWBC podcast, and until next time, it is ciao for now.
Thank you for listening to the TWBC podcast. Be sure to check out our website at waterskibroadcasting.com. Links to our presence on major social media platforms can be found there, as well as updates to our webcast and this podcast. Duplication or rebroadcasting of this broadcast without written consent of TWBC is prohibited. Subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform and be sure to join us next time for the next edition of the TWBC podcast.